Good morning. It is great to be here. Of course, I just want to get a look around. I will hopefully see many of you after service today, be able to greet you properly. The meters and greeters always do such a great job, but they didn't give me a bulletin, so Michelle. I have one up here, but thank you. I want to see what you guys are up to this month. Oh, I thought she was giving me a bulletin. Oh. So pray for the meeters and greeters. So I will be at the picnic tomorrow, though, so that's good. I mean, I enjoy your picnics. They're great. I haven't had a proper American picnic in a while. So I come into this pulpit this morning. We came in Thursday. Really, we came in, we went to bed Friday morning after being awake for over 24 hours in Baltimore, and then went right to the graduation breakfast and graduation, I think, that next day. Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, I can't remember how the days have been going. We came in here to New York last night around 11 o'clock. And I don't like to get into a pulpit, this pulpit or any other pulpit, without being prepared, without being studied, without being ready, without being prayed over. Today I'm doing that. So please, I apologize, and I pray that the Lord will just give us what we need to hear. You didn't come here this morning to see my face. You came in here to hear from God. And so did I, for that matter, and even already. Great words from Pastor Moore. These thoughts that go into the heart and mind and stay there, and we helps us through our days, helps us through our lives. So we pray, we're going to pray right now that God would do that. He would anoint this pulpit and this message so that we are all fed today. So, Father, we do come before you, and we do pray for grace and mercy for this message, that we know you have something for us all, individually and corporately. And we pray that you, by your great grace, would tell us what you have us to hear, and that we have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to your church and to us as your children. Bless this time in your word. Help to impart a vision for missions. Father, a call for our lives, the next step of faith in the adventure you've given us. Bless this time now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's happening in Albania and then go from there. We were in Baltimore. Usually we come into America later on even in June and stay through into July, but we wanted to be here for the graduation because we had a man graduate yesterday, which is really a miracle, definitely a praise report. The first Albanian to go to Maryland Bible College and Seminary. And he went for 1 year, as was the protocol there. They tried to allow men and women from other churches throughout the world to come for 1 year to learn and be trained in Baltimore. And he did that, came back to Albania last summer, and we had another man ready to go. But he didn't get his visa. It's difficult to get a visa to the United States from Albania. So the man we were planning on sending last fall could not go. But the visa that Tommy, you guys may know him as Tommy, what we call him Tommy, his visa was for 3 years. So we asked Baltimore if it would be okay to send him back. And they said, sure, we'll take Tommy. We love him. And he went, and now he graduated an associate's degree in biblical studies yesterday. So as a pastor, you know, it's such a joy. Yeah, I mean, you can clap for that. I mean, that's tremendous. I think Tommy has been in this pulpit, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, wonderful heart, wonderful man, and people asking him. So, what's next, Tommy? What's next? He will be coming back to Albania, the end of June, right during the end of convention. And I don't know. You know, I think one of the questions that pastors get asked a lot by men and women who are seeking to know God, know his will, is what is God's will for my life? And it's a question that we can't answer definitively, of course. I don't know what God's will for my life is. How could I possibly know what it is for you? It's progressive. I know what God's will for this morning was. It was for me to be back behind this pulpit and speaking the word to you. What's God's will for me for tomorrow? Well, we'll see what happens. You know, I have this personal, it's kind of a personal proverb, hindsight is 50-50, because I don't really know what I'm doing, and I only know half of what I've done, and I like life that way. I would rather kind of be a spectator in my own life and see what God will do as he works his miraculous grace in my life. And right now in Albania, we're at a point where we're going to see that. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen with Tomi when he gets back to Albania. I'm not going to say, tag, you're it. I know that some pastors do that. They get a guy into Bible college and they say, hey, thank you very much. And they pack their bags and go home. And then this guy's pastoring the church. We're not going to do that with Tomi. And we don't know if Tomi's the man. We're looking for Timothy. I've mentioned this before in this pulpit, that we're looking for the guy who will take over the church someday in Tirana. The goal of missions is not to be an American pastor preaching in a foreign country. It's to raise up nationals to preach in their country. And Tomi is not the only man that is being discipled and going through Bible college and really doing amazingly well in the church. We have at least four other men who are showing leadership qualities, and I'm trying to do as John the Baptist said. I'm trying to decrease bit by bit and allow them to be more in charge of the church. We will probably be putting elders in when I get back in the summer, and this is another great milestone for us. Tomi, of course, will be one of them. And we keep, you know, we solicit your prayers for these things, that we would know and see, and God, that we would just recognize God's work. I don't have to really analyze each man and have them sit down for a job interview and see how they're doing today and see, you know, if they're filled with the Spirit or if they're only at 87% today. It's not my, you know, that's not, I wouldn't be able to do that anyway. Only God can do these things. So what we're doing is watching and seeing the Spirit move in the church and see how God will raise these guys up and continue to. So please do that if you would. Remember them in your prayers. I did send out a newsletter recently. I think I saw a copy here. I'm not sure. Some of you get them. But if you don't, maybe I can get your email address and we can send them to you. But they also post them here. And we have new prayer cards. The last prayer card we sent out was 2005. So we look a little different now. Yeah. So maybe you've got a copy of that one on your refrigerator. But we just finally did another prayer card. So if you want a prayer card, please take one and put it on your fridge and pray for us. Let me tell you about what's happening this summer. I go back in June, and in July we're going to send three teenagers to Camp Life Europe. Now, maybe I don't know what the signal is here. This is pretty cool. We don't have one of those. We shine it on the wall. We have three teenagers going to Camp Life Europe this year. Now, Pastor John Love and his team have been doing Camp Life in Baltimore for decades. How many has ever been to Camp Life? No way. No way. Wow, that's a surprise. I had no idea. My boys have been to Camp Life, and they never had it in Europe. And my daughter, being a missionary, has never been able to go to it because it's in August. And for a missionary to stay that long in America is too long, from June to August. We need to go to convention. It's important. But to stay through August is difficult. So Ruth has never been at Camp Life. And now she's going to be 18 in September. So she's bordering on being too old to go. So can you see these guys? Is that? Kill some lights. Okay, so this one over here on the right, that's Ruth. Okay, you know, this girl here is Anna Zotto. This has been a miracle. This has been Ruth's best friend for many years now. Albanian girl, loves the Lord, great girl. And we've been praying that Ruth would have a good friend in Albania. We don't really have so much of a connection with the missionary community in Albania. And in Albania, we minister to the Albanians, we befriend the Albanians, we live with, and we eat with the Albanians. And it's great that Ruth's friend is Albanian. And so Anna has been a real miracle and provision of God for Ruthie for many years. So Anna will be going. And this gentleman here is Pavlo. He's only been in the church for maybe around 6 months now, I'm thinking. Huh? Three months? Really? Wow. Well, Ruth knows better than I do. But I'm still the youth pastor. So if you want to be a youth pastor at Albania, please come. I'm getting too old for this. Come on. I got to play, I'm playing football with these kids and I'm old. So anyway, Pavlo's been in the church for around 3 months, but he's being discipled not just by me and mainly by the other men in the church. Great guy, and he's going to Camp Life Europe too, and that's really a surprise. We didn't think he'd be able to go. But Pastor Moore gave me permission to have a door offering for these guys, not for me. And thank you all those who support us on the field. God bless you for so many years. We've never begged bread in Europe, and we just thank God for everyone who supports us on the field and prays for us. Prayer support is so necessary, and we thank you for that. What we'd like to do, though, is have a door offering just for these guys. We'd rather rent a car to take them there. It's about a 15-hour drive. It's about a 29-hour train trip, and we'd rather not do that one way. So we'd like to try to finance a car for them to go. So with the Camp Life, having had it year after year in Baltimore, they've never had it in Europe, and Ruth has been even praying that she could someday go to Camp Life. Now, Pastor Love and Pastor Pete Wistera are going to be there. They're going to go to Budapest and do a Camp Life in Europe. So this is really a wonderful answer to prayer for Ruth and for Anna and Pavlo. So we're going to do that in July. And then in August, we have our Mediterranean Conference, which we do each year. We're going to have it in the south. And during that week, we may take some side trips into Macedonia. And then the next week, we're going to go to Greece. We're going to go to Thessaloniki in that area. I don't know if you're familiar with Greece at all, but it's off to the east further. And we're not sure exactly what's going to go on there, but it's going to be fun. So even if you want to jump in on that, the first and second week of August, we're going to be having our conference, and then we're going to be having our missions trip. We went on a missions trip last year. I spoke about it already, so I'm not going to belabor it too much. But we've been in the Balkans, Macedonia, Kosovo. Me and Jane went to Montenegro last fall. It's a beautiful country, needs the gospel. And I want to, maybe as we open the word, I want to consider, you guys are great. I see your lives, and I've been part of your lives, I mean, for how long now? Decades. I know some of you so well, and we've all grown in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord together. And I'm only, how do you speak about missions to people who aren't called to missions? I don't want people to get condemned about, I should be in Togo, or I should be in, Brazil or somewhere. Maybe you should be in Malta. If you're called to Malta, well, then there's your field. I don't consider that missions, but it's your field. And God's called you to this church. And as I say in many of the churches that I visit, it is the strong American church that makes the strong missionary churches. We're strong in Albania because your strength here. And I know that the prayers go out continually from this church, and God hears them, and he answers in Albania. So thank you so much for all of that. So, but as a pastor, people ask you oftentimes, what is God's will for my life? Well, first, it's to know him. You know, it's just to know him. Pastor Stevens had that great doctrine booklet, Just Let God Love You. And everything begins with love. Everything begins with knowing the love of God. And really, and that's a lifelong pursuit, right? And in Ephesians, it talks about getting to know, comprehending, katalambeno, grabbing and holding on to, holding it down even. It reminds me of back in the days when we were playing football. Me and my brother Jerry used to go look for games on Sunday. And that it's that word picture to grab and hold down. And that's how we want to know the love of God, to not just have a passing understanding, not even to have that like Peter. I mean, I love Peter, and in John chapter 21, sure, I understand. He didn't understand exactly what Jesus was saying to him, and of course, the Spirit hadn't come yet when he says, Jesus, you're my friend. And yes, Jesus is our friend, but he is also our Lord. He is also the one that died for us. He died for his friends in John 15. So to get to know that love, that, you know, what is the will for our lives, easily said, is to love the Lord, to know his love. And once that love story plays out in your life and you see God's love in the good times and you see God's love in the bad times, you know, we've been praying for marriages. Marriages is such a wonderful microcosm of God's relationship with us. He made it. You know, he is the one in Genesis chapter 2 who said that, you know, here's Eve, be fruitful, multiply. And in Ephesians chapter 5, I love the way it speaks. I'm kind of throwing around verses, but I'm not really turning there. So I should. I haven't memorized the Bible yet. We are never taught to memorize scripture in Bible college, and I'm glad because I'm not good at that. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, in verse 31, I preached this, I said this once, I said, I think it's three times in the Bible. It says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother. It says it in Genesis, it says it in the gospel, it also says it here. And I said it one time in a church, and some woman said, amen! I guess there was a situation there with mom. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and these two shall be one flesh. And in this particular passage, I like that for this cause, because for this cause is the cause of Christ. And in marriage, and thank, can I have my wife stand up, please? I don't. You know Jane, but Jane is, like, amazing. You know, Jane has been and is and just exactly the helpmate that God knew I would need, and has been with me in great times, in tough times, in all times, and because for this cause. We know that our marriage is for this cause, and that cause is Christ. And because that's what it says in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Christ and the church is the marriage relationship. You know, he is the bridegroom. We are the bride of Christ. For this cause, we leave our natural lives, and we cleave to our Savior. And life changes, and in our love relationship with the Lord, we go through the trials together. I mean, isn't that, some of these, you know, wonderful people have been married a long time, right? And you know, you go through the good times, you go through the bad times, but you go through them. You know, you don't give up, and we pray that you go through it together in prayer, in consideration, and you go through. This is the way God is with us. We go through this life with him. As we learn to love him and grow in that grace and knowledge and that love, getting to know the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of his love, we go through. If we know the love, we can go through those trials. You know, we see God's hand in the trials. Just like in marriage, you go through trials, but you go through them together. For this cause, you leave your father and mother and are joined to your wife. So that's really when we were looking for the will of God for our lives. All we have to do is know the one who called us, know the one who died for us, and get to know his love. Just let him love us. Grow in that love. And then the love for the body, the love for one another, our families, our spouses, it is shed abroad in Romans 5:5. This love which we experience in the relationship we have with God is naturally shed abroad in our hearts. Bubbles forth is the way the Greek word actually is illustrated there. Bubbles forth, bubbles out. In Luke 6, it talks about how pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. When we have this love, this relationship with Christ, we can't even keep it in. Like Jeremiah would say about the word, that it was a burning lamp, that I had to let it out. And this is where I always see that so quickly, so naturally, and so beautifully here in this church. When I walk in the door and I see Dave's at the door, and you know, and then I see Michelle at the second door, not giving me the brochure there. The thanks. She's always there for me. Yeah. So, but I see the love, and it's so natural. It's so wonderful. There's no striving, and it's one of the many things I love about this particular church. And I love the fact that you raise up men and women, and you're not just keeping them here. I see so many of them in Baltimore. We talked with Bea Shibley, right? Elizabeth. Oh, is it Elizabeth now?
Well, it's not Bea.
Did you? Gotcha. Bea, no. Oh, Bea, Pastor Handel's wife. Hey, come on over. pull up a chair. I'm sorry. Were you guys? I'm just having a conversation with everybody's like, what happened to the message here? You're right. I'm sorry. Bada bing. We need the rim tap here, Fred. Okay. All right. Now I'm gonna hit you. Now I'm gonna hit you with some doctrine. I'm gonna make you all cringe. So, but you know, to know God's will, and I was at the prayer. What was it? It was the graduation breakfast in Baltimore. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, this call of Samuel. And he was really the miracle child of Hannah, who was barren. She prayed, and Eli heard her, and there was a little miscommunication there between the pastor and the woman in the church, but that's okay, because God answered her prayer, and she had a child, and she gave that child over to the Lord. Now, some of you are second generation. My children are second generation Christians, and some of you are. David Peterson's parents are here, way in the back. Nice to see you, Susan and Dr. L. And you know, and the Moore children, and many others. But second generation, meaning the parents brought the kids to church their whole lives, and then eventually they grew up, and then they had to really make decisions concerning their call and their walk. Now, maybe even for those of you who have come into the church, you know, in another way, you've just kind of come off the street, or you heard on radio and you came to the church, and maybe you're still wondering, whose God is this? Is this the God of perhaps I was raised in a religion, and this is a good religion? You know, this is a good, for me, I'm speaking kind of third person here. You know, this is a good religion. I like the way they read the Bible. I like the way they interact. I like the messages. But it's still at that religion stage. And it's Sunday morning, and I go to church. And that's okay, but we're calling you a little deeper. And with second generation children, now adults, you see that also, where they've been brought to a God who is their parents' God. And they don't really know the God, their God, as well as they really need to, especially when life starts to take strange turns. So here in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, something I just noticed while one of the pastors was speaking. And the King James really doesn't do it so much justice in verse 7, but we'll get to that verse. But in verse 1, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was very precious in these days. There was no open vision." And in verse 3, the lamp of God went out in the temple. These are difficult times, dark times. Now, we're seeing in the world, not just in this country, but in the world, we're seeing some dark times approaching concerning Christianity. And they're not going to get lighter until we see that light in the clouds. That's when it's going to get a lot lighter, and then we're going to go home. But before that time, we are seeing that the world is becoming darker and darker, and it's more of a warfare out there for the souls of men. And for me, I enjoy it. Pastor Moore preached a message ages ago in the other church. It was, "Do you like the warfare?" And I'll never forget that message, because he likes warfare. I mean, I may be wrong, but he likes warfare. Yeah. And like David ran into the battle, you know, against Goliath. There's warfare. Whether you like it or not, there's warfare. Let's like it. Let's grab our sword, know how to use it, and run into that battle. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. I would encourage you, know your Bible. Not theologically, not quote chapter and verse, but let the rhema, which is the individual manifestation of God's Spirit in the word, going into our soul to feed us exactly with what he wants us to know at that moment. Let the word of God come alive and enter into us and change us. We're in warfare. Let's enjoy it. Let's be in the battle. Let's be in the thick of it. And in this time, when Samuel was growing up, it was also a dark time. The light, to say that the light had gone out in the temple was a big thing. That was supposed to be maintained. That somebody allowed that oil to dissipate to the point of letting the lamps go out. Major problems. And it shows of the spiritual, that the influence of the Spirit in our age, it was not there. But we see that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." Now, maybe you know this story. This happens three times where God calls to Samuel, and he goes to Eli. And this is what I was noticing even yesterday, how Samuel, all his life, had been under the teaching of Eli. He had heard, you know, he had been around the priest. He knew the ordinances. Of course, this is Old Testament, but he had been right in there, just like maybe we have, even for years and even decades, right in there. We've been part of this. But when God was calling him, he didn't recognize the voice of God. And he went to Eli instead. Now, for you here at this church, your pastor and the elders of the church are here for you. If there's questions, if there's counseling needs, even if there is a question about what is God's will for my life, I know that the phone always rings with Pastor Moore, and the elders are available to this. Please don't neglect their ministries. They're here for you, and by God's grace and by the Spirit's filling, they can counsel in these areas. I'm not saying we don't go to our pastors or the people that we trust for godly counsel, but I'm saying that when Samuel heard the voice of God, he didn't know it. You know, even Jacob would say that. God was here and I didn't know it. In Hosea, it says that I was here to heal you, but you didn't know it. And we oftentimes, through our own reasoning, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, I believe it is, 4 or 5, how we it says to cast down vain reasonings that exalt themselves over the knowledge of God. That word, it says in the King James, imaginations, but the word is reasoning in the Greek. How we reason away faith and we logically discern our way outside of God's will and into a natural life. God is saying, I'm talking to you. I'm saying something to you. It took a long time for Samuel to realize that it was God speaking. And when it comes to missions or, you know, going to Baltimore, I know some of you have had a desire to go to Baltimore, or if God is just calling you to whatever, a ministry in the church or something, to be out on evangelism when the church goes, listen to that voice. Don't just, you know, whisk it away like it's not that big a deal or it wasn't really God saying it. If God has placed something on your heart, pursue it. And, you know, all that we've done in the last 12 years in Europe has all been by the grace of God. But we knew, we heard from God and we did it. And you know, I speak, you know, I've got thousands of stories about different times that this happened. But, and my wife loves this story, so I'm going to tell you one story. When we were living in New York in 1999, my years are all gone, and I knew I was called to Baltimore. I knew I was called to go to Baltimore to go to Bible college there. And we decided in the fall of 1999 we would go. And my wife was 7 months pregnant when we decided to go. And we went, and I'm not saying this is a good counsel. I'm not saying this is what you should do. But quit my job. I had no job in Baltimore. I had no place to stay in Baltimore. We had no health insurance in Baltimore. So we went to Baltimore. And, yeah, and within 24 hours, I had a job. We kind of squatted in an apartment until it became available. And it came available, praise the Lord. And I asked the boss, I come down and I said, okay, I'll work for you. You can do this, by the way. You can make demands of your bosses, and they sometimes listen to you. I said, I'll work for you, but I need health insurance because my wife is going to have a baby, and they're supposed to wait 3 months before your health insurance kicks in. Well, that's 2 months after my daughter's born. So they said, okay, we'll do that. So within 24 hours, we had a job, we had health insurance, and we had a place to stay. But we're driving in the rental truck, the U-Haul, and I'm thinking, this is just like Joseph and Mary going to Bethlehem, you know? And I mentioned it to my wife, and she didn't see any humor in that at all. By this time, she's 8 months pregnant, and she's bouncing down 95 in a U-Haul truck. And I'm loving life, and she's wondering why she ever married me. But I've known this, that when the door of faith opens, you know, Paul said, an effectual door has been opened unto us. But what does the rest of that verse say? Right? There are many adversaries. And when you open a door of faith, I guarantee you Satan is on the other side, telling you who you are and why you can't do this and reasoning with you and telling you all of the logical, intelligent reasons why you cannot take a step of faith. You cannot go out on the mission field or whatever, you know, God's will for you is. Really, when it comes to the will for our lives in application, it's simply trusting Him. When we love Him, when we know His love, you know that love that passes knowledge, when we know that nothing will separate us from that love in Romans chapter 8, then we have to trust them. And that is one thing, praise the Lord. Did I have my wife stand up? I did. Oh, I know. I should have just had her stand up for the entire message. she trusted that I heard from God, that God called us to Baltimore. I didn't, in fact, in from that moment, and even before that moment, even right to today, I have made decisions. We left our daughter, 2008 would make her 9 years old. Yeah, we left her in Albania. And again, this is bad parenting. But we visited Albania for a weekend, met some people, left our daughter with them for 2 weeks, and we went back to Bulgaria. 9-year-old daughter. Not good parenting. But praise the Lord, she's still with us today. But we did it. Because when we made that trip to Albania and we realized God is calling us to this country, we didn't, you know, we opened the door, the adversary was there, and we walked right by him. Because Satan has got no teeth. You know, greater is he who is in us. And we can run into the battle and run right through Satan's devices because God's got a wonderful plan. And God's got a provision that we can't see, because if we can see it, then it's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in Hebrews 11:1. We don't even acknowledge the things we can see. The things that we don't see, those are the eternal things. The things we see, they're temporal. So we see the temporal demons behind the door of faith when we open it. But it's the Spirit saying, come further, go through that door. It's an effectual door. I have everything you need that's past that demonic projection. Everything you need is on the other side. Go through the door. Know that I love you. Know that I will take your hand. Know that I will walk you through every trial in your life. Trust me. And the way we learn to trust him is by learning to know his love. We know his love, we begin to trust him, we take steps of faith, maybe baby steps at first, but we see that it was effectual, that his power went with us and he brought us through. And then we take another step and another step. And what ends up happening is you end up 20 years down the road and you have no idea how you got there. Your life is totally out of your control and you love it. And you look back and you say, I don't even know what that was. And you look forward with no expectations, with no demands, because your life is hid in Christ. And you're just going through the motions, letting God direct your path. What does it say there in Proverbs chapter 3? How we, right, do not lean on our own understanding. We love that verse, but do we really, God, do we really trust that verse? I want to get it right. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I mean, we love those verses, but when you really, really do not lean on your understanding, when you really trust him, when you really acknowledge him, and you really see him directing your path, it's glorious. It is... You are walking, you know, above the earth. You are seated in heavenly places, and you are focused. Your emotions and your mind and your will is focused on things above, and it's miraculous. Please, we hear a lot, especially in Christian radio and things like this, how what we have to do, how we glorify the Lord, how we do all of these things for the Lord, that we are the, you know, we are the ones who have to, you know, strive to be the Lord's workmen. But it's not like that. It's a trusting. Because when we trust, there's no sweat. You know, there's no what have you done for the Lord lately type mentality. Because in 1 Corinthians 15:10 it says that we are who we are only by the grace of God. You know, we don't strive to prove ourselves as Christian. No. Because you know what? We're married to the guy. We're married to God. He's in control. He's the one that says, there's the door. There's the way. Walk in it. And we simply say, okay, I trust you. I'm going to go that way. in what we do. We don't take any glory in. It's not us doing it. Paul would say that. In fact, let me look at that verse in 1 Corinthians 15:10. There's three things he says about his life here. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's it. By the grace of God, we are who we are. And he would say in 2 Corinthians that it was his strength that was hindering him at times, right? That God really had to break him in order that he would know that his grace was sufficient for him. And being broken by God, I mean, that's not something you want to pray for, because it's, you know, that word really in the original language in the Hebrew speaks of being like crushed. It isn't like cracked. It is like pulverized. And so we don't pray for that, but what God needs to do a work in us, and there are times when, because of our pride or because even our strength and our ability, we can hinder the work of God. Paul found that out, and God had to give him a thorn in the flesh so that he would know that his grace is sufficient for him. We don't take any credit. You know, I was thinking, somebody asked me, so what was your greatest accomplishment so far in Europe? And really, it was fixing my washing machine. That was my greatest accomplishment so far, because I was the hero for the day in my family, because I changed the motor brushes in my washing machine. And I was able to go find a place that had motor brushes, and I had the thing apart on my desk. And but I don't, when it comes to the things of God, I don't know. I don't know. He's writing a book about all of us, and we'll read it when we get there, and it'll be nice. It'll be a fun time. But I don't take any credit for what God's doing with his world, you know, using his sinners saved by grace. So when it comes to accomplishments, there's no sweat. There's no, what have you done for the Lord lately? It's all, hey, I'm just living by grace, but I'm living by grace. And he says here, and he says it beautifully. Paul was definitely a greater grace pastor. He says, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which is with me. So I am what I am by the grace of God. And I have what I have by the grace of God. And I do what I do by the grace of God. Because it's all by grace, and it's all because for this cause, for the love of Christ, the love of the relationship, the joy of the Lord, we walk by faith and we grow in his grace and we serve in his grace, and we don't care. We're not looking for results. We're only looking for him. And he's saying, hey, come on, I'm going to put you in a moving van and I'm going to take you to Baltimore, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take you from country to country, or I'm going to take you into a ministry or into a deeper walk with me. We don't know. No one knows the will of God except God. And it's progressive, but it's effectual, and it's empowered by his Holy Spirit. So we just keep going. We just praise the Lord. And when we fail and when we fall, we get back up and we brush ourselves back off and we keep on walking. Because we know who we are. Paul says, in me dwells no good thing. Those verses are edification to me. In Romans chapter 7, in John chapter 15, where it says, without me you can do nothing. I love that verse. Because I don't want to do anything without Christ telling me. I want to be the one that can say, I'm the chiefest. Well, I don't want to say that now, but I don't want to be the chief of sinners. But Paul would say that. I am the chief of sinners. I am the least of the apostles. But he would say it as a declaration of grace. That look what God can do with you and I. It's amazing. Because we are who we are by the grace of God. We have what we have by the grace of God. And we do what we do by the grace of God. And we have one who loves us with an everlasting love, who has the perfect will for our lives. And he's just asking us, hey, trust me. And if you don't trust me, then love me. The more you love me, the more you'll know that I'm trustworthy. and I will never lead you astray. He's the God of all love. He loves us. He's got a plan for our lives, and he'll tell us as we go what that plan is. It's an amazing adventure of faith. Okay, so let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for this amazing adventure of faith that we call life, that the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls, and we're already past that point. We're already saved. We're sealed forever. We're going to heaven. Right now, we're just kind of hanging out, getting to know you better, getting to know your love. So, Father, you have a will for each of our lives. You have a plan and a purpose. We pray that you would reveal it to us moment by moment, step by step, but that it would happen without us even realizing it, that we would just love the relationship we have with you, trust you, walk with you, and be changed by you. It's all about you. And today, if you don't know Jesus, please, please, you must know the one who loves you to the point of dying on a cross for you. Please, today, if you've never received Christ, please do it today. Say yes to Jesus. He died on a cross to pay for your sins. You are forgiven by his blood. Receive him as your Savior. If you're saying yes, you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, would you raise your hand? I won't embarrass you, but I would love to know if someone today is saying yes to Jesus. Okay, Father, and it's great to see so many people that I love so much. Love that I don't have in a natural, but I know it's supernatural. And only the God of love can shower us with such great love. Thank you, for as we enter into communion with you in the elements, we know you are with us. You will never leave us or forsake us. Help us to know your love, know your will. In Jesus' name, amen.